We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on an ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection, and the majority of the time, she will choose life. But she can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside her. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I love talking about the things of God because of truth and the biblical worldview.
The U.S. Constitution obligates our government to preserve and protect the rights that our founders recognize come from God, our Creator, not our government. I believe that Scripture in the Bible is very clear that God is the one that raised up each of you, and God has allowed us to be brought here to this specific moment in time.
This is Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
And good Friday morning, everyone. No, it's not Jenna. Fred Jackson sitting in for Jenna today on this Friday, May the 3rd. It's a Friday. We can breathe a sigh of relief. We have made it through another Joe Biden week. And we're going to be talking about everything that transpired this week, what's gone on in our college campuses, and we'll be talking to somebody from Washington, D.C. very shortly, a guy who's been involved with the country's education system for decades now, talking about what has gone wrong in these places of so-called learning and what they are learning these days. But, you know, I'm thinking about all of this week, and I guess most of this year so far, it gets you thinking that, you know what? Sometimes, even as Christians, we can feel like we're being defeated. And we need to keep reminding ourselves that this is spiritual warfare. And, the Lord has given us the end of the story, as it is. And we have to keep a focus on that and understand that when we have weeks like this, what we're seeing on university campuses, what we're seeing in certain courtrooms in New York with the former president, that God is still in control. And he has already written the script for the end of this story. And guess what? There are skirmishes that Satan's crowds are winning right now. But the war, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ wins the war. So with that in mind, I went to Revelation 19 this morning, and I do this from time to time just to remind myself, to encourage myself, and maybe this will encourage you this morning. Revelation 19, starting in verse 11, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges, yes, we have a God who judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. And if you are a Christian this morning, we'll be joining that. We'll be joining that army. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun who cried in a loud voice to all the birds flying in midair, come, gather together for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings and generals and the mighty of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, great and small. Then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to wage war against the rider on the horse and his army. I love this. But the beast was captured, and with it the false prophet who had performed the signs on his behalf. With these signs he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshipped its image. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. The rest were killed with the sword coming out of the mouth of the rider on the horse, and all the birds gorged themselves on their flesh. And that will be the end. That will be the end of it. And of course, it goes on to talk about a new heaven and a new earth. So folks, do not be discouraged. We are on the winning side. We are part of that army that comes back with the Lord to put an end to Satan and his crowd. And, we're part of that army, but we don't have to fight. Because as those concluding verses talk about, Jesus himself puts an end to it all. With just speaking an end to it all. That's the powerful, almighty God that we serve, who is our King, and who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I tell you what, you got to read that. You got to shout amen, hallelujah. And, yes, we're here. And, you know, as Jenna's opening just said there, we ought to count it as a privilege that God has chosen you and me to be on this earth at this time, to be part of his salt and light, to give witness to him, to talk about these scriptures that I just read. That if you want to be on the winning side, it's very simple, folks. Accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Knowing that your good works cannot save you. But you accept what Jesus accomplished for us when he came the first time and he died on that cross. But he rose again to put an end to death. And you and I can live forever with him. And the Bible says we will rule and reign with him someday. So be encouraged today, folks. Yes, we're going to take a look at the news and what's happening out there. And it is interesting. It is interesting, and it is part of spiritual warfare that the target of these campus protesters this week has been Israel. Don't believe what the Associated Press says, pro-Palestinian. No, it was anti-Israel riots on our campuses. Let's be very, very clear about that. Jewish students were injured, some of them quite seriously. I was watching an interview this morning with a young Jewish lady from UCLA, and she suffered a fairly serious head wound. She was attacked by some of these, what some are calling peaceful protests. No, they weren't. She was attacked, showed pictures of the wound on the top of her head. She and her mom were interviewed this morning. Her mom is an Iranian Jew, came to this country with a lot of hope, but she's shocked. Her mom's name is Ruth Sonbolian. I want to play you a little bit of what she had to say this morning. Her impact, what she's feeling, with the injury to her daughter, and how shocking it has been to see the hatred against Israel and the Jewish people this week. Cut number 13.
I was a refugee from Iran, and I was raised in Israel. And I moved to this great country for me and my children. My children were born here to have a better future, freedom. I was sure that we are a little bit more tolerant, and there is no such a hate to this extent that we experience. I think it's shocking. I'm every day finding myself more surprised with the extent of the hate towards Jews all over. Although I must say there's also a lot of loving people, but this express of hate, I don't know. I'm lost for words, because it's just criminal. You know what? You don't like us, that's okay. But you cannot chant all day long death to the Jews.
Yeah, that's what was happening, death to the Jews. And by the way, also death to America. And let's be very clear about that. We now have multiple campuses across this country, many of them so-called Ivy League schools. And what you're seeing is a manifestation of what these kids have been taught now for years. And these so-called tenured professors have been allowed to get away with this. It's amazing to me what we've learned in the last couple of weeks on Columbia, the campus of Columbia. At least three of these university professors, among them people who praised Hamas, what they did on October 7th in massacring more than 1,200 Israeli men, women, and children. They have openly praised Hamas for doing that. and they still have jobs at Columbia. Amazing to me. You know, it's interesting, this mom talking about her great hope she had for America, and she still does, but shocked at what her daughter experienced there at UCLA. Matt Whitaker is a former acting U.S. Attorney General. He notes, it is amazing that the DOJ hasn't charged anybody with hatred. Yeah, they've dragged off a few of these kids, and they go get processed at the local jail, and then they're out within minutes. They will never see the inside of a courtroom. That's not going to happen, folks. But there are Jewish students who have been attacked for being Jews. I thought that we had hate crimes laws in this country. But here's Matt Whitaker, former acting U.S. Attorney General, on the fact that so far it doesn't seem to be a priority for Biden's Department of Justice. Cut number five.
What I see is just a lack of curiosity and a lack of priorities. You know, if you think about where the DOJ is allocating their resources, you know, they're putting a lot of time and effort into Donald Trump and prosecuting him and trying to get him to trial in at least two places, federally in Washington and in Florida. But they should be focused on these acts of crime, of anti-Semitic and civil rights violations on our college campuses. You know, and quite frankly, you know, the previous segment in Philadelphia and the crime. They should be putting resources into Philadelphia, whether that's ATF agents, FBI agents, DEA agents, wherever's needed, and partnering and bringing federal cases to get trigger pullers and violent criminals off the streets. But instead, you know, they're just misallocating their resources away from these priorities and into things that, quite frankly, don't matter and are not going to make Americans feel safer.
You know, it wasn't all dark this week. There were some bright moments. One of them at University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, back, this was just a few days ago, in the midst of these anti-Jewish, anti-Israel, anti-America protests, a bunch of kids there, a bunch of guys from a fraternity there, showed up on campus, and they took down the Palestinian flag that had been raised. Can you imagine that? Palestinian pro-Hamas flag that had been raised. They took it down, and they worked to put up the American flag. And one of those kids was interviewed this morning on Fox and Friends. His name is Jake Harris, and he helped lead this group of Jewish kids. Cut number seven.
When I started seeing, you know, Jewish students getting mobbed with flags and chants and signs, I started to kind of realize that maybe these protests have evolved a little bit. And so I stepped up kind of to give a voice to the Jewish community on campus to support, you know, Israel's right to exist, because we felt that that part of our identity was being definitely a little bit stifled. We feel that by putting our voice out there, we definitely were able to not really start a movement, but definitely make it easier for people to stand up for what they believe in.
So I guess the question is now, where do we go? Joe Biden, yesterday, came out and made about a two-minute statement. It's the first time he's come out and actually said something. The White House has been putting out little written statements on this. But yesterday, he actually came out and said, of course, we ought not to be tolerating what's going on our campuses. But that's the first time he has spoken. I think what has to happen now, and there's a piece in the Wall Street Journal this morning that kind of alludes to this, parents, you've got to speak up. You've got to take notice. I'm shocked that you haven't noticed what's been going on our campus even before all of this. But you got parents paying as much as $90,000 a year for their sons and daughters to attend these elite universities. And we understand at least some of them now are starting to react to this. Some of them are apparently going to sue these campuses because some of them have been canceling graduation ceremonies. Some of their kids can't take final exams. And so they're going to sue, and rightly so. Some are starting to say, you know, who have kids who are sophomores, juniors, I'm not going to let my kid go back to these campuses. Because we know that these campuses aren't going to do anything about this. So, finally, parents are waking up to what really is going on here on these campuses. As I say, when we come back, Lord willing, we're going to be talking to somebody in Washington, D.C. who knows all about this. who has been involved in the country's education system for a long time. We're going to be asking him, you know, how do we get here? Because in order to understand what has to be corrected and how it has to be corrected, you have to know how we got here in the first place. All right, you're listening to Jen and Ellis in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in. We're back right after the break.
You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show, and that's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you, we need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or $140, helps to rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just dial #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
And indeed, welcome back to this Friday edition of Jenna Ellis in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Jenna. Always enjoy doing so. Well, as I mentioned off the top of the program, congratulations. We have all survived another week of Joe Biden's America. And we ought to congratulate ourselves for that. You know, we've been talking a lot, especially the last couple of weeks, been going on our university campuses. And what we have seen, I think, manifested is something that has been brewing for years on our campuses. And I think in some strange way, there's a wake-up call here, because now you've had very vivid evidence of the priorities, apparently, or what is going on our university campuses. As we just mentioned, some of these schools, $90,000 a year, mom and dad have been paying tuition. Or, in Joe Biden's case, he's just given money away to pay off their tuition. Well, you know, our good friend Gary Bauer, head of Campaign for Working Families, Gary knows a lot about the education system in this country. He's been involved with it for many years. He was the Deputy Undersecretary for Planning and Budget in the United States Department of Education during the Reagan years. And we're real happy he joins us right now from, I assume, the Washington, D.C. area, Gary.
That is where I am. In the swamp, my friend.
In the swamp. Gary, I wanted to talk a little bit and mention the fact that you know America's education system, and having had that experience for so many decades, what happened to America's education system?
Well, Fred, this has been going on for, as you indicated, a long time. The radical left, really in many cases the neo-Marxist left, has swept through countless American institutions. And when they sweep through these institutions, they take them over lock, stock, and barrel, and they change dramatically. And education is the perfect example, but you know, we could talk about many other places, the culture, they're even doing it in sports and so forth. But all the way back into the Reagan years, Fred, I was invited to speak to the National Textbook Publishers of America. And I went to their convention and I excoriated them because I reviewed a bunch of textbooks, and the textbooks were presenting to the students that the struggle between communist Russia and the United States was being presented in a neutral way. Well, on the one hand, America thinks this. On the other hand, communist Russia thinks that. You would not believe the trouble I got in because I gave that speech. I was dragged up in front of the United States Senate in a grueling hearing because I dared to try to tell textbook publishers what they ought to print in their books. So this battle's been going on a long time. The universities in the country are no longer places where American kids can go and understand after 4 years better why they should love America.
But you know, what's interesting, Gary, these people present themselves and make claims to the effect that they are bastions of diversity, equity, and inclusion. But that's not what we've been seeing the last few weeks from these campuses.
Oh, no, no. That's almost like a really bad Saturday Night Live comedy skit, right? The only diversity there are at these universities, the diversity that's on these campuses, it may be a racial diversity or a sexual orientation diversity, an ethnic diversity, but they're all left-wingers. I mean, there are more self-identified Marxist professors on the faculties of our biggest and most well-known universities than there are self-identified conservative professors.
Well, Gary, here's something that I don't understand. Some of these campuses are in Republican-controlled states, what we call red states. And I'm sure the Republican politicians, at least, understand what's going on our campuses, but in the case of public schools, continue to fund them. What is it going to take to say you're not going to get money from us anymore because you're left-wing indoctrination centers?
You know, Fred, all of your questions are always great, but what you just hit on goes to one of the major reasons that we're in the problem that we're in. Look, the left and the radicals and the Marxists, they do what you would expect them to do. The problem is our side doesn't do what we would expect and hope that they would do. You know, Donald Trump, I know he's remained controversial in some conservative circles, but Donald Trump is changing the Republican Party to the better, in my view, but it takes a while to do it. When the left was taking over these even state universities in red states, all too often, conservative-controlled state legislatures and governors did not have the courage to take it on. Yet they didn't want to be seen as being critical of the university of such and such, you know, which might be a matter of pride in a particular state. They didn't want to alienate business communities. They didn't want to get the president of the university criticizing them. And the result is they have presided over these important institutions that now don't do anything but just produce new committed left-wing Democrats every year. You send your kid off to college, and 9 times out of 10, if they change, it's that they've moved completely left. They come back home, and they've been taught to despise everything that you taught them to believe in.
You know, Gary, I think another problem that's been identified, Devin, I want to stand by with clip number 3. Mark Levin talked about the other source of funding that's been going on in these universities coming from pro-Hamas-type governments around the country, sending millions of dollars and representatives to these universities. Here's Mark Levin on who's funding these protests. Cut number 3.
Here's the deal. This is a fusion of the Marxists and the Islamists. They both hate America. They want to overturn America. They have voices like Bernie Sanders, and Tlaib, and a big chunk of the Democrat Party. William Lajeunesse has done a great job on the funding. I've been spending 3 months on this on my TV show, Who's Funding This? It is Soros, the Tides Foundation, a whole phalanx of front groups that they push their money through, they launder their money through. You have the Hamas funding network that George Washington University has exposed. You have Qatar that's poured almost $4 billion into our colleges and universities. You have communist China that's poured almost $3 billion into our colleges and universities. The problem is these have become anti-American, almost Stalinist breeding ground.
Do you object to anything that Mark just said there, Gary?
No. Look, I wrote about this the other day, Fred, because this is so ironic and it's also so infuriating. everybody had a plan to make America's universities be what they wanted them to be. So the radical Islamists have, over the last 30 years, methodically, through these various governments, poured money into the universities, and often they set up Middle Eastern study centers. Oh, who could be against that? You know, we want our young people to know more about the Middle East. The problem is these centers reek with radical Islamist professors, that they're indoctrination centers, basically. Communist China had a plan. They put Confucius centers on 200 American universities, brought professors from Communist China to teach at those Confucius centers. And by doing that, infiltrated our universities, spied on other Chinese students that were attending them, stole information from research centers and so forth. I could go on and on about the different entities. The only entity that didn't have a plan to make the universities something that they should be made into was us.
Yeah.
The United States. We did not have a plan to make sure that our universities created well-educated, intellectual, discerning young men and women that knew why Western civilization, Judeo-Christian civilization, is worth defending.
You know, Gary, we're talking with Gary Bauer, Campaign for Working Families, good friend of ours. Gary, I guess what a lot of people are trying to understand, these people, when I'm talking about the leadership of these universities, the professors and these kids, they enjoy an environment of learning, free speech, and all of those sorts of things here in America that you cannot find in other countries. So why do they want to change that? What do they see in communist China that is so wonderful? You know, communist China that'll lock up dissidents. What do they see in Islamic countries like Qatar and other places like that, that LGBTQ students, if they went there, they would not last very long, and that's putting it politely. So what is it that they want America to become?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, I think, first of all, what happens beginning in earlier and earlier grades in our school systems is these kids are taught to hate America. That's the first step. They're deprived of the natural love of country that anybody feels for the country that they're born into. And these kids were blessed to be born in America. They could have been born anywhere. The God we worship chose that they be born here. He was not surprised that I was born here or you were born here. It was one of the earliest blessings we got from God to be born here instead of some of the other places around the world we could have been dropped into the middle of. So they're taught to hate America, that it was racist, that it killed the indigenous people, that a white power struggle runs the country, et cetera. And once all indications of natural patriotism has been ripped out of their hearts and soul, then there's an effort to put a substitute in. You know, look at that place over there. They're so much better than we are. One of the reasons there's so much anti-Israel sentiment is the students have been taught that the Jews are all white, that the Israelis are all white. They are white adjacent. So they're part of the white supremacy problem in the world. In fact, half the Israelis come from Arab countries. They're minority. They would qualify as being minorities in the United States.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a lot of there's a lot of contradictions here, a lot of stupidity. I love your point about, you know, how they would fare in some other country. Iran has actually offered them scholarships.
Yeah,
I think we should encourage these students to take Iran up on that offer. I really want to be there videotaping when one of those students says, gee, I can't believe it. There's no LGBTQ club at the University of Tehran. I'm going to go ask the school president where I can set one up and who my faculty advisor will be. Or the guy that wakes up, some student that says, you know, today, I don't think I'm a boy anymore. I think I'm a girl. So I'm going to go inform the school. I'll be going into the ladies' bathrooms where they all wear burkas. I'll wear a burka, too. This is just insanity. And I think, sadly, Fred, the only thing that will wake many of these kids up is if we lose the country and then they see firsthand what they lost and what the alternatives in the world actually look like.
Gary, we got to take a break here in a few minutes. Can you hang around? Because there are some other things going on in the country I'd like to talk
sure.
to you about. But Gary, we got moms and dads listening right now, grandparents listening right now. They've got kids in high school, and they're at that point of considering what schools to go to. What advice can we give parents? What do they have to do? What do they have to be considering right now?
Well, it's tough. I hope more and more families and young people are considering that maybe having that college degree isn't all we've been led to believe it is. There's a real shortage in this country of skilled labor, of people that can use their hands to build things, fix things. And it's more and more of a technological world. You can get educated in those things at various places around the country and not get the indoctrination that goes along with it. I would urge parents to consider schools like Liberty, Grove City in Pennsylvania, Hillsdale. There are schools out there that still have this solid sort of Judeo-Christian worldview. But I think the other thing I would say, Fred, is I hope you're not just worrying about this now with your kids.
Yes.
We need to start when they're in the first grade and in our homes where we have control, make sure they are taught everything they need to know and taught to be strong enough to withstand this indoctrination they're going to get in a lot of schools.
You know, Gary, I've often said one of the richest years of my post high school education was a year of Bible school, just to get some solid general training so that you're as a young person going out with a biblical worldview and understanding the context. God is in control, and he gets the right to set the rules, and carrying that worldview forward as you perhaps go into a secular school, go into that job place.
Yep, you're absolutely right. I mean, we all need to be grounded in the Word. The Bible is full of heroes and heroines, and we can take inspiration from them. And we can also, by the way, be reminded that almost every one of them has a flaw or two.
Yes.
So people are imperfect, but God can use us to do great things.
All right. Much more to talk about the Trump trial in New York, one of those topics. And we're going to be talking with Gary Bauer a little bit more about that when we come back.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back. Fred sitting in for Jenna today. Jenna will be back in the chair on Monday having a great conversation with Gary Bauer, Campaign for Working Families, good friend of the ministry here. Gary, we're holding on to you because we love to get your perspective, as you say, from the swamp from whence you live. I'm not going to say from whence you come because that's insult. I know you're from Kentucky originally, aren't you?
I am. And, you can take the boy out of Kentucky, but you can't take Kentucky out of the boy.
Well, amen to that. Glad to hear it. You know, Gary, we're talking a lot about our concern for our young people today and the environments that they are growing up in, particularly the education system. The governor of Arkansas, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, yesterday signed a bill into law, and a few years ago, that you would have to have a law now in a state to protect women's sports. I want to play you a little bit of what Sarah Sanders had to say yesterday about this. Cut number 12.
And if President Biden threatens our state with loss of educational funding because we refuse to go along with his election year pandering, Arkansas will take the federal government to court. That's because this issue goes far beyond a single locker room or a missed scholarship. The truth is important.
Yeah, Gary, I love what you had to say there. The truth is important. As I say, it's amazing that we have to have laws now to protect our daughters from the Biden agenda.
It is extraordinary. And of course, the Biden political strategy is to use abortion to get the women's vote in America.
Yeah.
They believe that that's the path to victory for them. But at the same time, they're appealing to women on the abortion issue. They are gutting the premier law that protects women from discrimination in educational programs around America. I mean, this is unbelievable. And the feminist groups in America are either silent or they've actually, in some cases, stood with the Biden administration. And I think your listeners probably know what the core issue is here. Does a man or a boy claiming that they are a girl have a right to compete against your daughter or granddaughter in a sporting event? But it doesn't end there. Have a right to use the shower facilities and locker room. In other words, no more private places for young women, because if somebody says they're a woman, we have to let them enter that space. This is insane. It's evil. It's got to fall. But, Fred, this is another one of those things that, you know, it will be determined by who wins the presidential race.
Oh, exactly.
And I know there are still Christians going, oh, Trump's got so many character problems. I'm telling you, folks, there's not going to be another chance. We either get the White House back, get the Senate back, expand the majority in the House, or we're done. Because by the time they get another 4 years, more judges, left-wing judges, everything we hold dear will have been stripped away from us.
You know, Gary, let's stick with that topic for a moment when it comes to, you know, conservatives taking control once again. I guess a lot of conservatives wonder why is it, and I'm addressing the House Speaker issue right now. We have Republicans that now want to toss House Speaker Sullivan out of his job. Now, they present certain arguments, but to the country, and I want to get your opinion on this, to the country, I have to wonder if they look at the Republican Party of today and they say, if they can't get the act together inside the party, how can we trust them to lead the country? Is that an unfair assessment?
I don't know if it's unfair, but I think it may be an assessment that doesn't look at the big picture. Keep in mind that, you know, there's a lot of frustration among conservatives that even when we have solid majorities, not the thin majority we have in the House now, but even when we've had solid majorities, we often have not done what we told conservative voters we would do if they turned out and voted for us. You know, when Trump ran in 2016, there was a poll that asked Democrats what one word would they use to describe their feelings for the Democrat Party. And the word that was mentioned most often was proud. Hmm. Democrats were proud of their party. They asked grassroots Republicans what word came to mind when they thought of their party. And the number one word most frequently responded with was betrayed. So I think that's why we see these divisions now. There's still a bunch of Republicans in the House of Representatives, Fred, that want to go back to the old Republicanism, you know, looking out for Wall Street, but, you know, nothing for Main Street. Big multinational trade deals that the Fortune 500 companies will applaud, but ends up killing the jobs of working class Americans. So in addition to everything else we're dealing with, there's that battle in the House and Senate between whether we're going to they're going to be the old Republican Party, which I don't believe can win a presidential election anymore, or whether we're going to be, for lack of a better phrase, a populist Republican Party that I think is what the country needs going forward.
It would seem from the polls, Gary, that the majority, I read a poll about what's going on the campuses. 70-80% of Americans are appalled at what they're seeing at the campuses. Seems to me that would be a unifying thing to go before the country and say, we're going to change things.
Yes, there's some people saying that. The former President Trump has mentioned a couple of things that he will do. And of course, we hopefully still remember what he did do in those 4 years, moving the embassy to Jerusalem, making the alliance between us and Israel stronger than it's ever been before. He brokered a bunch of peace deals from five different Arab Muslim countries with Israel. This is another area where whoever can get their people out to vote is going to determine how this issue is resolved.
All right. You mentioned former President Trump. Let's talk about him. I think most conservatives would concede that we now have a justice system under Joe Biden that is weaponized against the former president, doing everything possible. Legal experts, I think, across the board have been saying these charges brought against him, they don't hold water for a second. If it was anybody else, the charges wouldn't have been brought. So we have a justice system that has been weaponized against what they consider a political enemy. But on the other hand, looking at the polling, Gary, it seems to be that it is helping him to a certain extent when people are seeing how he's being persecuted by that justice system.
Yeah, that's a great summary, Fred. I mean, it is a little ironic. I'm also, I always worry about polls because what's the sample? What's the agenda of a particular pollster? But generally, these polls seem to be picking up exactly what you described. It could change. I'm worried that he might be found guilty in some of these proceedings, even though there as a trained lawyer, I graduated from Georgetown Law School. These cases are ludicrous, but the juries are all Democrats. The prosecutors are Democrats. The judges are Democrats. So they would love to put him in jail. This may shock people. They would love to see him die in jail. I'm not exaggerating. They've introduced a bill in Congress that if you have Secret Service protection and you get convicted of a felony, you lose your Secret Service protection. So they want Donald Trump dead because I think they see him as the one guy that they just have not been able to turn into mush like they have done with so many of our leaders in the past. And your comment about them weaponizing things against him, they have. And as you know, Fred, they've weaponized these institutions against us. I mean, these protesters that are being arrested, they're backed out of jail before the day's over. But we've got pro-life people that have silently prayed outside of abortion clinics facing 5, 6, 8, 10 years in prison. So Katie barred the door. If something, God forbid, happens to Donald Trump or they throw him in jail or he loses this election, there is nothing to stop this power coming after us and our families. They're already doing it, and it will accelerate if November doesn't go well.
Well, that's a stark warning, Gary, and I don't disagree with you because I guess I'm no longer shocked by what I've seen over the last 3 years of a justice system weaponized. You mentioned pro-life people. You had that pro-life demonstrator where the FBI shows up in force. FBI agents at his house to arrest him as he's sitting there having breakfast with his kids. And all he did was that he was at a Planned Parenthood in Philadelphia. I mean, it's hard to believe that those kinds of things are happening in America. I have read another story on LifeSite News just this last week where a pro-life demonstrator allegedly found guilty of going against the FACE Act, as it's called. And she's been put in solitary confinement.
Yeah.
This is...
I think most Americans are so busy, Fred, you know, just trying to pay the bills and, you know, take care of the kids and fight this Biden inflation that we don't hear about these things that are happening. Or if we do hear them, we just don't have enough bandwidth with to, you know, worry about it too much or think about it too much. But this is a consistent theme all over the country. And there's no doubt what its purpose is. Its purpose is to silence us, to make us afraid, to make us hide in our homes and not do anything to fight back. And of course, that's the one thing we cannot allow them to get away with. We've got to stand up at a time like this, not shrink into the shadows.
Absolutely. We're running out of time. There is a large gathering that Trump has put together in Florida this weekend. We are told there are vice presidential candidates going to be there. Can I ask you if you have a favorite?
Well, while we've been talking, I got that signal on my phone that a call was trying to come through. So maybe that's my invitation, Fred. Why are you asking me who my favorite is? So seriously, I go back and forth. There's a lot of them. We've got a lot of great people. Almost everybody, though, has a downside. I'm not sure I've really come to a conclusion about who the best person would be. I do not agree with those, however, that say that he's got to pick Nikki Haley to bring the party together, because I know Nikki Haley personally. I think she's a very nice lady, but I think she showed in her campaign that at the end of the day, she's an establishment Republican. And he needs somebody with him that is all in on the new party he's trying to build, and somebody that will really go to the mat. And again, you know, he's up in years. So whoever's vice president, he can't run for reelection again. So whoever's vice president will have the inside track to be the next nominee. So I would not pick her if I were him. But we do have a lot of good people, senators, a number of good senators, some great governors. You mentioned Governor Huckabee in Arkansas. I think she's on the list. This selection could have a great deal to do with what happens in the November election.
Well, Gary, I'm sorry I interfered with that call. You know, it could have been the big invite.
Yeah, it was probably my wife telling me that it's garbage morning. I need to take the can down. But
we all have to live in that real world still, don't we?
yes, we do.
All right,
Mommy
Gary.
Mommy ain't happy. Nobody's happy.
Listen, I love your end of day email that you send out each day. How can folks get that? It's a wonderful summary of the major news of the day and your assessment of it. How can folks get that email?
Well, thanks for asking, Fred. They can go to ouramericanvalues.org.
Amen. Gary, always an enjoying the time to be with you and your assessment. We really appreciate, and we'll be praying for you, sir.
Thank you, Fred. I always enjoy it, too. This is probably the highlight of my day, so maybe I should just go back to bed. But anyways, good to talk with you and your listeners.
All right. You take care of yourself. All right, folks. It's been good to be with you this morning. As I say, Jenna will be back in the chair on Monday. Do have yourself a blessed weekend. And as always, be a blessing to others. Take care.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
We'd like to thank our sponsors, including Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies' lives. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.